something that people are asking me for a lot, and people were in my Facebook group. They were really asking me about accessories, and I'm like, man, I got like an arm full of tattoos. I don't really wear any accessories, but if I was gonna wear them, none of the stuff out there that I like, so I'll make my own. And that's when I just happened to be shopping with my girlfriend, and next thing you know, we had the girl that worked at the boutique place was the one that actually made the bracelets. And I was like, well, you're hired because you're awesome, and let's just see what we can do here. And the first ones I made were, I mean, I sell them for, they cost like $350 to make, and we sell them for $79 for the pair.
So it's not, I guess, information product margins, but it's pretty good margins.
Yeah, on those, it's amazing margins. And that's one thing I learned since working in the style business is a lot of the physical ones, because I came from the digital background, where we make 75% commissions, 80, 90% commissions. For selling people stuff. And like when I talked to the GBX shoe company, they're like, well, we'll give you 15%. I was like, it's kind of shitty. Like, what? I didn't realize margins, like they were actually hooking me up, but in reality, they only pay like, you know, they pay $40 for shoes and they sell them for 60, so they don't make anything. And I'm like, okay, well, that makes sense. So ties, tie bars, little stuff like that, that's what I like that has high margins. And then you put a story to it, like, these bracelets aren't bracelets. They represent shattering mediocrity and living an awesome life. So now you're not buying a bracelet. You're buying a statement. So
Yeah,
that's.
and somebody, and because I mean, you wouldn't have a business if you were actually ripping people off. But what you, I mean, I've seen the guys, and that's what I love about what you do is you take what I mean. Some of your courses, honestly, I'm always floored by the prices that you charge sometimes. But your guys love it, and they eat it up, and they're raving fans. And you've done this with a relatively small audience. It's not like you've got, you know, Aaron Marino numbers, Elliot numbers, you know, or I guess Antonio numbers. I mean, you've got relatively, you know, a small audience, yet you are able to, you're not afraid to get out there and to sell and be right in their face, like, I've got a solution to your problem and it costs this amount, you know, when many people out there just are afraid to sell.
Well, one of the things that I learned early on, and I think Dan Kennedy is big on it and all the stuff that he talks about, and it's like it's lifetime customer value. And a lot of people just go for that front-end sale. And for me, it's, I know the average value of my customer is over $200 now. So it's, you know, whether or not they just watch my free YouTube videos, eventually they'll probably maybe never buy an information product because they just don't buy information products, but they might buy a bracelet and boom, there's $80. They
Yep.
might buy another bracelet, there's $160. They might buy, and then maybe they'll just come to a live event that I'm holding and pay me $500. Because that, and that actually happened, and I would have never known that that happened, but that actually happened to the live event that I did. Guy never bought any of my products, just said, oh, I saw you had a $500 live event, so I figured I'd never been to St. Pete, so I was coming to see you. And he still to this day hasn't bought any of my products, but he came and flew from, I think he was from like Toronto or something, and just like, he's like, oh, I figured I'd get all your stuff live, and if whatever I don't have, being that I paid you $500, I figure I can talk to you now. I'm like, that's pretty solid, yeah.
And so I think the key takeaway here is if you've got a brewery, or if you are in the crowdfunding space, or if you're in the fitness space, just because as you start to build up an audience, it's not about like, you know, Mike, you may have a great, you know, workout program, but that isn't going to be the only thing you're ever going to want to sell. It may be something that you've got people out there, they're never going to buy one of your workout programs, but if you put out, you know, something, you know, like physical or something that, or if you had, you know, your own little store on even Amazon, you could set that up where they would be able to support your channel by buying through it. You know, there are other ways to monetize, and you can, you know, piece those together and they add up to a substantial income. Ryan, can you take a few minutes and take a step back, talk a little bit about where you're from? Who, you know, like the kind of people you surrounded yourself with. You said you had come from an internet marketing background, and kind of work your way up to where you're at today.
All right, cool. Yeah, so I mean, I don't know if everybody on here knows, but I'm really good friends with Elliot Hall. So I was fortunate enough to kind of stumble upon Elliot
And who's
before
Elliot?
he. Elliot is, I guess you consider him a YouTube celebrity. He's 2 million subscribers strong on YouTube between his channels. Multi-millionaire as far as what he's doing in business-wise, and pretty much just gets recognized everywhere when he walks around on the street and everywhere he goes. So it's pretty. But he wasn't that. That's the Elliot that is today. I know him as the Elliot who was doing workouts out of his busted up, like, I would call it a rapist child van, like, in parks around St. Pete, and getting kicked out because he couldn't afford to pay a park fee. So he was just doing it at parks that were kind of run down, and, you know, they didn't kick him out. So, like, and I discovered Elliot through a forum, and Mike, you might know Zach Evanesh, Underground Strength Coach. He's been doing, like, the underground, like, flipping tires and stuff for a while, and was kind of one of the pioneers for that market, and I just happened to be into that style of working out. So he had a forum, it was like $10 a month, and Elliot happened to be a member there, and I was trying to do this whole personal training thing, and I saw Elliot was doing it too. I was like, oh, I should probably go meet him. And similar to what I do, I just assume that everybody should know who I am. I just emailed him and said, hey, I like you, let's go hang out, kind of thing. And he invited me to one of his workouts, and it was me and like two people, and I paid him like $20 to work out, had a good time, and then every time I would show up to his workout, I was like, yo, you want to go get like a coffee, or do you want to get a smoothie or a protein shake or something? Let's, you know. And eventually he caved, and we went to lunch one day, and since then, I actually bought his lunch that day on a credit card that I never paid off. I still probably owe on that credit card because I couldn't afford to take him to lunch, but I did it anyways. And, you know, we became friends since that day. And, you know, fast forward a little bit, I just say, hey, well, this guy's doing this stuff on the internet. And at the time, I was a pro BMX racer. So, and I was working at Lowe's selling doors and windows. So I had really good face-to-face selling skills, and I knew that people kind of had a likable personality. So he tried to do the, he was doing like a football thing online, and I was like, well, let me try this BMX thing online and see if I can't make that work. So I begged my dad to help me film a DVD to help BMXers get faster on their bike. And we did that in like probably like a 1 month time span from like standing in Elliot's gym at the time with a you remember flip cams? I don't know if Antonio, do you have a flip cam when you started? It was like one of those, it like literally like opens up and it like plugged in your computer. It was really crappy camera, but I took one of those and I put it on the tripod and I just yelled at it for like 45 minutes about what exercises people should do. And then my dad packaged it up all nice for me because he was good at editing. And I started selling that at BMX races. Like from my backpack, I was just like hustling in between my races, selling it for, they cost me $3.50 or so, $4 to make, and if I got $10 for it, I was happy. So I was just selling it to anybody that would buy one, and then eventually one, like, I remember this like lady was like, do you have a website? And I was like, no, but if you go to RyanMcGinn.com on Monday, I will, and you can buy it from there. And I went home that night, like, and I attempted to build a website, and it was terrible, and then I started learning, you know, web development and making my own sites. And the BMX thing went pretty good for about a year, and it kind of fell off because I guess the market, it wasn't very big. You know, we're teaching style, you know, fitness. Like, these things are huge markets, and teaching people how to get faster on their bikes was only a very small, like, real tiny market to talk to. So I did about, I would say, almost close to, like, 1,000 DVD sales over the course of, like, a year and a half. At like an average of like $20 a piece. So like, that wasn't getting me rich, and I kind of realized that, and I was like, man, what do I do? But in the process of doing that, I learned I was doing videos every day and things of that nature to get a BMX audience. So I learned kind of the power of making videos. So I just kind of shifted from talking about BMX to more of a broad fitness background and teaching like strength training, similar to what Elliot was talking about. But I never really caught any stride with that because I don't have the fitness type personality. I look more like, at the time, I looked like a kid that would rob a convenience store. Now, at least, I'm a little more polished. But I was trying to teach fitness. I had, like, pink hair, like, crazy, like, personality. And I ended up really getting some stride when I stumbled upon SEO, which is search engine optimization. Basically, I learned how to, like, scam Google. I would make celebrity sites about celebrity abs. And once I made my first site there and then a movie would release, I made like, I think I was like my first like $5,000 weekend. And I did it while like getting drunk all weekend and not caring about anything because if you were to Google, who was it? Sorry, it was actually Jersey Shore. I had a site called jerseyshoreabs.org. And when the Jersey Shore show became popular, everybody wanted like the, you know, Mike Sorrentino, the Situations abs. So I had a site dedicated to the Situations workout, and next thing you know, like all these sales came in for these really crappy supplements that I had no, I was just getting a big commission selling supplements and it wasn't helping anybody. But I saw that opportunity and I was like, holy crap, let me go on imdb.com. And I went on IMDb and I literally hired a team of Filipinos and I was paying Filipinos $100 a week. And they would crank out 7 sites a week for me, whatever I wanted with content and everything. And I went on IMDb and I found every movie that I was going to release for the next year. And I made sites dedicated to like the top actors in each movie about getting in shape. It was like Ryan Reynolds abs, ryanreynoldsabs.org, Ryan. And I had tons of sites. So whenever you search Google for any of these celebrities, you found the site of mine selling some shitty supplements that I got like a $40 commission on. And I did that for about 2 years before Google caught up. And I was doing really well with that. Those were like $10,000, $15,000 months. And I was just literally not a care in the world about life, buying, like, going to the club, spending like $500, $600, $700 a night drinking bottle service and just doing that for about a year. And then Google kind of caught up with it and basically put the hammer down. And I lost all the sites because Google figured out what I was doing to game the system. And that was right around the time that me and my girlfriend were getting pretty serious, and we ended up breaking up at that time. So I was like, oh, shit, life is falling apart on me here, like no business. Like, so I basically started from scratch, but I didn't want to like just build something to make money. I wanted to build something that was actually a value to the world because I saw how quickly like the scamming would go away. And that's kind of when I discovered style, and I used the style, and in spite of my girlfriend breaking up with me, to kind of say F you to her, I just became like the best dressed guy everywhere I went, but with my own kind of edginess. And I took that same mentality and I started writing about it, making videos about it, and those things. My small audience, like for some reason people followed me from the BMX, even the SEO spamming days. I don't know why, but I had email signups on all my sites for free PDFs and people signed up for them. Not a lot, but I had about 2,000 people when I started. So I just started sending this quality content now to these people, and people were like, whoa, this stuff's really good, Ryan. We thought you were just a scammer. And I'm like, well, why would you stay on my email list if you knew I was a scammer? But that was besides the point. Eventually those people like shared a few videos here and there, shared some content here and there. And that, then I was like, okay, so I did nothing but, so I go from like spamming everybody to make any like dollar I could, like now I had a small email list of people that listened to me. I didn't want to spam them anymore, so I sent them nothing but content for like 6 months. And it was a mixture of working out, dating, and style, because at that time frame, I was single, dressing well, going out all the time because me and my girlfriend had broken up. And whatever reason, I had it in my head that she dumped me for like guys that wore suits. I don't know why. That was just like, it was like easy for me to hate her for that. And I created this like, you know, story about how she dumped me for these guys. And then I created my first product, 51 Handsome Guy Secrets, because I talked to a good friend of mine who's really high level in the dating industry, and he's like, dude, we need a product to sell like this. Can you make it? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. It's already done. And he kind of published me, I guess you would call it, for that product. And from the get-go, I was the first to kind of bridge that market as far as pickup and dating and style. And all the guys sold my product, and we did like 3,000 sales in the first 6 months. And that pretty much, once I had that plus a small following I was starting to get from my YouTube videos, kind of rolled the snowball down the hill, if you will. And then now my email list is about 30,000 people strong. YouTube just passed 12,000 subscribers, and I mean, Instagram's growing. And now I have a really social-based business where I can't scam anybody and I can't hide from them. So I really try to just provide as much value as possible in my own style. I tend to not be that stifled, you know, suit type of guy, even though I like that look. I try to bring an edge to everything I do, which is like you can kind of say F you to the world, but still do it in a respectful way. And that's kind of, I'm thinking, what most like people find me for now. And I'm not afraid to really get very left field with some of what I talk about. Like, I know that every guy should own an Oxford cloth button down, but if you say that, nobody's going to buy one. But if you say this is a shirt that every girl wants to have sex with you when you wear, they want that. So I just change the headlines and get creative with how I phrase stuff, and that's kind of one of my strengths, is making the uncool cool. So that's kind of where I'm at today.
Hey, Ryan, you didn't finish up the best part, that you actually just had a baby with your girlfriend.
Yeah, we ended up getting back together, and now we have a baby together. It's 2 weeks old. So,
yeah.
But there was actually a part, like I guess you would call it a fork in the road, if you will, that I could have taken, and it was to not get back together with her and be the full-out pickup guy who used style to get laid every weekend, and or be the guy that got his ex-girlfriend back. And I opted for that one because I didn't really want to be that guy who was just having sex with random girls every weekend. But had I gone that route, I'm sure my business would be probably triple what it is now. The people in the dating market are funny. But I didn't want to be labeled as that guy, so I chose to go the other route. And that was even before I had gotten back. I just kind of made that story up, and then I guess it happened, so it was kind of cool.
So a few things. One, you're really good with stories, and that seems to be something that you use. Another one is that you can go into what appear to be somewhat crowded niches. I mean, Eben Pagan owns, Double Your Dating, and a lot of these guys, I mean, they've really got their spaces there. And you were like, nah, I'm going to bridge the gap between two popular ones where guys actually do want to spend money, and I'm not going to be, because you don't compete with me. You don't compete with Aaron Marino. You don't compete with anyone in the dating sphere, because you fill that void between the spaces.
Well, I looked at what was working, and obviously – I tend to do a lot of research looking at, the social dynamics of, what the people are watching, what type of people watch your videos, Antonio, what type of people watch Aaron's videos, what type of people are in the dating niche. And I had a lot of, back-end intel because I knew a lot of the guys in the dating niche, and I knew a lot of guys in the fitness niche. So I could kind of talk to them and get the feel for those type of, the demographics. But for me, it was just finding – I wanted to cast, a wide net. Style is a big net. So you get a lot of people, but if you come down to style and dating and pickup, that's kind of a smaller subsegment. So it's I bring people in from this kind of left field entrance, and then I talk about whatever I want once they find me. So that's kind of, and a lot of people, I think that's why I do believe there are niches that are too small, similar like the BMX niche, because you can only sell so much, but if you take something like getting abs, that's huge. But then you chunk that down to, I get abs with TRX straps, or I get abs with sandbags. Now you have a big segment, but it's narrowed down, and then you can kind of, build from there. So I just wanted to find a way to bridge, what was already happening with the same people, just kind of a different way to talk to them. And, I saw a lot of gaps where a lot of the style vloggers, I follow a lot of guys who are just YouTube vloggers, that they make great videos, but they don't really provide any value. It's okay, well, how can I change what's happening on the YouTube level for vloggers? They make these really sweet lookbook videos where they're basically just, hey, look at me, I'm pretty. I have nice clothes, and I have $800 jackets that you can't afford. So I'm trying to bridge another gap, too, with, hey, I shop at H&M. My clothes are cheap. This is how you look good for cheap. But at the same time, teaching them about life. Well, nobody cares, about buying a shirt when you can tell them, okay, well, if you buy this shirt, this is how a girl's going to see you. Or this is how a guy is going to, he's going to give you more respect and authority because you have this on or you're wearing this way. So just finding different angles and creative ways to just take what's already there and make it, in my opinion, I just think, what would get me to watch something? And it has to be cool. So how do I take something that's ultimately not cool and make it cool? So that's kind of, I always reply that to everything with my graphics, with my websites. It's all well, would I buy this, or is this cool for me? And that's kind of saved me many times.
So, I mean, you're talking about a very important skill, which, I guess a more formal name for it in the written word is copywriting, and being able to really create that emotional trigger so that if you, because many, let's say you have, you have a brewery, or perhaps you've got a DJ business, perhaps you've got something in which you're actually helping with addiction of video games. I mean, let's actually use the addiction of video games. Do you play video games at all, Ryan?
I don't. And just for that type of thing, because I know I'd spend a lot of time trying to win something that doesn't matter.
So what would, I think that's a key to be able to take is Ryan, focuses on that emotional trigger, which is going to get somebody to click or to be interested in that. Now I'm going to open this up. If there are any questions, please ask. Somebody's asking if you got the link to your bracelet page.
Yeah, I do actually, and there's that's actually like another, just for what you're saying with copywriting. Anybody I know, like obviously I have no problem getting these made and having them made at all times. Like I can buy 100 of them at a time for less than $100. They're like, you know, materials and things. So I always like exclusivity. They're always technically sold out. Like they're always in demand, and I run a Facebook group, and my YouTube channel and my email list are like my three points of contact that a lot of people follow me on. So I try to make each one of those, like they kind of work together, but they're a little more exclusive. Like the email list is like 30,000 people, and YouTube is like, you know, whatever views they get. So it's very open. So I try to get you from YouTube to the email list. And once you're on the email list, I try to get you to the Facebook group. So that's like my little tier. So the guys in the Facebook group are my most active people. They're not like my best customers. They're just like my most rabid. Like they ask questions, they're here. They're good for market research. Those guys are who I kind of, hey, these are exclusive to you. So I always drop like, hey, there's only 10 available right now, go. And then if they don't sell out from the group, then I go to the email list. Hey, this is exclusive to the email list. You know, there's only 25 available right now. And there's always a counter on the page. Do you want me to, can I type it in the chat box? Will that show a link?
Yeah.
You can look at this.
Or you can send it to me. But I really like this strategy. Tom, have you ever heard of anyone taking this so that they go from YouTube to the, I mean, I go from YouTube to the email list. But I love this idea of leveraging a Facebook group to better wrap people in.
Well, the Facebook group for me actually, I wanted to keep it just a customer. So it started just people that had bought my product. And I originally called it 51 Handsome Guy Secrets Customers Group. And I keep it closed. So, like, I have to approve you. You can't just invite and add people. But what happened was, I think when I hit about 500 members, like, and not everybody that buys your product is going to go into the group. Like, know that going in, too. So I started, like, really cultivating a really good relationship with these, like, 200-300 people. Then it grew like, you know, then I started getting a little organic growth, I guess. And it got too much for me to check to see who was buying it versus like who had come from my, you know, buying my product. So I basically just opened it up to everybody. But the people that go into that, into Facebook, they're really rabid. Like they may not be the most high spending, but they show up to live events. They watch your YouTube videos first. Like they're you know, connected to you in some way. So the Facebook group became more of a strategy, not so much to make sales, which it obviously does, but just to just really be value in their face. And there's a book I read, it's a Dan Kennedy book, it's No BS, Wealth Attraction, The New Economy. And it really, you know, coming from like the scammy, like spammer background that I had with the Google stuff, he calls it like your value bank and your future currency. So it's like whatever you can put out that will still be, you know, providing value years and years to come. That's why YouTube videos are so great. If your future bank account is bigger than your current bank account, then you're going to be rich. So that's why, like, you see the value with so many videos, with Aaron has so many videos. You can't not make a lot of money when you have that much awesome stuff out there for the world to ingest. So once I kind of learn this, then it's like, okay, well, if I'm in the Facebook group every day just answering question after question after question, that's building my future bank account. And same thing with making all these YouTube videos and things of that nature. Then when I drop a new offer or I make a new product once a month, you know, everybody wants to buy it because they just feel indebted to you because you just give away so much free stuff. And that once I started realizing the dynamics there, the more value that you produce, the more money you can make. And that's when a lot of people also is like, well, what do I give away for free? What's giving away too much? I mean, I know you probably do it, but like, I give away everything. Like you can watch all my YouTube videos and piece together every single course that I've ever created, but it's not as streamlined and ready to go in a nice, pretty package like if you bought one of my courses. So those things were kind of like breakthroughs for me when I was starting to like, well, what do I give away? I don't want to give away too much. I don't want to tell them everything. And it never, like, the more I give away, the more money I make, no matter what. So it's an interesting takeaway that I got.
Hey, Zach Bob, you got a question? Seems like you're edging up for Adam. Good to see you, by the way.
I do have a question. Whenever you first started off, I got a YouTube channel too, and I'm still kind of new, and Antonio's been getting on to me about a bunch of the stuff that I'm doing wrong, and then we're trying to correct it, trying to get the path right. I guess my question is, when you first started off, I have very limited views. I haven't started sharing it on social media yet. I got a social media outline and everything planned. marketing plan to start that here. I was supposed to start it this month, but I'm a slacker. Next month it'll be starting, but when you first started off, like I said, I only have a few views, so like did those views come later, or I mean, is that like, I kind of get down on myself a little bit when you look at something that's a couple months old and it's got like 10 views, you know? It's,
even I still get messed up when I look at view counts, because most all my videos get, I mean, I have 12,000 subscribers, and each video will get roughly 1,000 views within 48 hours. And I, even to me, I'm like, oh, that's so little, that's so this. Like, when I was starting out, I had 100 subscribers. Like, I don't even know where those first 100 came from, but that's just, like, they were there when I started YouTube. I don't know if, like, they liked something I did with my BMX channel or, like, I don't even know. But what I started is I just did it by volume. I figured if every video, if I make a video and it gets 10 views and I have 1,000 videos getting 10 views a day, that adds up. And I always kept that mindset, because when you look at YouTube, it's, you never know which video is going to like take off. You could make your first video just is like, what is that, that Carly Rae Jepsen song, Call Me Maybe, 80 million views and everybody hates you or everybody loves you. That could happen. That could also happen on video number 40. That could happen on video number 1,010. But once that, one of your, no matter what, just statistically, if you're making consistent videos, one of them is going to get higher number of views than the rest, because you're going to hit a headline that just catches people's eyes. People just like it. Your screen or thumbnail is like, you know, people want to click on it, and it'll get some traction. And then if they do like you, then they go back and watch all your videos. Then naturally, you're like, the curve's like that. So every time that would happen, like if you look, there's a video I have called How to Pin Roll Your Jeans, which is like a sneakerhead thing where you roll up your jeans really tight. It's like from the 80s. But I saw, once again, like I try to always look for trends. And it, for me, it's easier to spot a trend than it is to go over and reinvent what's already working. So pin rolling was starting to get popular in the sneakerhead culture. I'm like, well, let me make a video about that. That video right now has got like 200,000 views. It's one of my most highest viewed videos. And what, like up until that video, not a lot of videos were getting views. And then there's like another one that was three ways to become more handsome. That video just happened to rank number one in Google for how to be handsome. I didn't plan that. I didn't try for that. It just happened. That video gets like 30,000 views a month. So now that all those, you get these little, but that how to be handsome was like my 50th video. And my pin rolling was like my, you know, like 70th video of, you know, I never knew where they were going to take off. So that,
which one took off?
That I heard. It's hard to say, because I just kept making them. And that was another thing too. It's just I looked at, you know, the top style vloggers, the people in my niche. Like I saw Antonio was doing 5 videos a week, Aaron was doing 5 videos a week, but I didn't have the content to do that at first. I mean, now I could make 5 videos a week, but when I started, I was just trying to pump out as much, but I was being really calculated and trying to make them cool titles, cool headlines that people wanted to click on. And I was doing that with like 3 ways to be handsome. If you go to my YouTube channel, you can sort like most popular video. And that was another thing that I learned too, is you can go to Antonio's channel and you can search most popular videos. And you can see what videos are the most popular that Antonio has posted or Aaron has posted. And just go back and make your own with different titles and different headlines and just try to make something, change something to make it your own. And I did that with pretty much every video that Aaron had that was on his first page of popular videos. And then I went to like some dating channels and did the same thing. And I just kept, you know, just trying to, I guess, just make a headline cooler so people would look at it. And you'll never, I never know like which one's going to pop off. You have no idea. Like, and then you'll get shout outs too. Like there's weird things that happen. Like Antonio gave me a shout out last year for StyleCon. Elliot gave me a shout out. I collabed with Elliot on a video, and they're not life changing like everybody thinks. Like, you know, Elliot had like 1.5 million subscribers and gave me a link straight from his video to my channel. I gained about 2,000 subscribers, but since then my daily subscribers have gone up almost double. So it's a more of a long term thing, but you can't control shout outs. You can't control, you know, if somebody's going to mention you, but just know if you keep putting out good stuff, somebody's going to see your video. And we'll share with their people or share or just mention you in their thing. And that always happens if you're putting out good stuff, because guys like me, guys like Antonio were like, man, I'm just struggling for content this week. Let me see if Aaron has a good video that I can drop in the Facebook group, or let me see if, you know, this dating guy has something cool that can add value to my people, or, you know, or I'll link to it from an email. There's any number of ways, and you never know. Like, I don't even look at view counts if the content's good. Like, I just want my people to have the content. So, like, an email from me would send, you know, 1,000 clicks to that video, so you'll have 1,000 views. So it's like, you never know where stuff like that's going to come from, and it's always happening on your part. And I think if you really get sucked into worrying about it, you get that, like, oh, well, nobody's going to watch it anyways. And you got to, like, fight that off, like, 100%. Just keep plowing through and making more stuff. Because I'm sure your first videos are going to suck, and everybody's do, and they get better. You know, video one for me was terrible, but now, I mean, I like to think I'm pretty candid when I talk to my camera. And you also start developing, I would say, like, your persona on camera. Like, I tend to yell a little bit more and talk louder in my videos because I know that draws people in closer to me and they like to, like, hear me. I talk real close to the camera because I want people to look at my eyes, because I know if you're looking at my eyes and you're listening to me talk, you're going to be connected to me. So that's another, like, and I learn all this. It's all persuasion, and it's all stuff you learn from, like, Robert Cialdini, and, like, Dan Kenny talks about it. Evan Pagan talks about it. It's really getting people to draw in closer to you. Like, I don't like the lookbook-style videos that a lot of the fashion bloggers do, because you can't look at me. Like, you're just looking at what I'm wearing, but I want you to, like, be right here. So now I do, like, split screen where I'm talking to you, but I'm still showing you the outfit right here because I want you listening to me talk while looking at what I'm doing. And that's just to bring, because all that goes in, you know, that's how I can take 1,000 people and sell 100 products, because I want those 100 people to be like, I love Ryan. I love him, everything he does. You know, because let's say you have a $5,000 product. You don't need a lot of views to sell a $5,000 product. Like, you need 100 views a month and convert at 1%. You know, so it's like, it depends on what you're selling as well, but I would not get dragged down on views. Just plow through it and just keep giving content, because you never know which video is going to go viral per se. And when one does, it helps everything else out.
Should you worry about, like, call to actions and everything at the end of your video in the early phases, or should you just mainly worry about just the content that you're putting out?
I worried about it hardcore in the early phases. I had, like, if you looked at some of my, like, earlier YouTube videos, there's, like, in the whole corner of my screen, it's like, download my free gift. But what I realized after doing, like, 30 videos like that, the people that were actually watching my content, they're like, dude, we get it. We've already signed up your emails, Ryan. Can we just, like, we just want to watch your videos. So there's, like, a fine line versus how much you're pissing off your current people that keep watching you versus what, you know, new people see. So with YouTube, you have the cards and all that. Like, so I wouldn't get too worried about that. Because really, with YouTube, it's going to take a few thousand views before you start seeing anybody signing up for anything anyways. But you also don't want to be, like, if one video goes viral overnight, you want to be prepared for that. So have, like, a concern for it, but don't make it, like, your only priority to get email subscribers. You know, worry about the content first and what people are going to, you know, perceive you first as well. Because if they like your video and you have no call to action, but they still like your video, they're going to subscribe to come back for your next video. So that, I would just worry about that.
What about posting strategy, like, to social media, like, whenever you upload a new video? I'm planning to reuse my videos, you know, after they cycle through. I got about 31 videos uploaded right now with about 7 more in the bank. And should I be posting them? Like, is there any other places besides, like, you know, the normal Twitter, Facebook? Where else should I be kind of going, do you think?
I'm pretty bad about recycling my content. Like, some of my videos go up, I don't email my list about them. Most of which, you have to choose, like, pick your battles. And for me, it was, I want to make YouTube a priority, so I only focused on YouTube. I do have it set up to where it auto-posts to Twitter, but I have people that ask me questions on Twitter, and I never see it because I don't even have the app on my phone. So I don't even look at it. It's just auto there. I also have a Tumblr that I set up that my Instagram auto-posts. But I also don't want to be the guy that has Instagram, Snapchat, Tumblr, and all this, and it's all the same stuff, because you're seeing different people on different platforms. So there is, like, right now I make a video, it goes to YouTube right away. I'll take that, I'll put it in the Facebook group. And then if I see that the views are going up pretty quickly, maybe I got a good thumbnail, maybe the people like the topic, then I'll take a screenshot, post it to my Instagram, and put a link in the bio. Other than that, like, that's my strategy. Like, I don't really, and if I want to, I only email my list to videos to build that relationship, because I don't make any money from the videos except for, you know, ad revenue, which is minuscule at best until you're having hundreds of thousands of views. So I wouldn't worry about, I mean, just concentrate, make YouTube videos and make YouTube videos, because once you have a following on one, you can get them to all the others. Like, I started doing Snapchat Q&As yesterday, and in a week I had like 400 Snapchat followers that are watching my stuff. But that's only because I already had built it on the other platforms, and now I'm like, hey guys, I'm trying something different on Snapchat. I don't know if I should do this more, but let's try it out. If you want to follow me on Snapchat, here's how you do it. And then I'm going to do a Snapchat-only Q&A, so you have to follow me on Snapchat.
Okay.
And now I have the Snapchat following. You know,
what's your
but
Snapchat?
That's only because it's my name, RyanMcGinn1. I don't know who the other not one is. I'm pissed about that. I always try to get my name for everything, but whoever the one is, he probably has more followers because people just are lazy and they're not looking for mine. They find his. So, but yeah, I mean, you can have a strategy, but for the most part, you're probably going to get busy and you're just going to be doing stuff anyways. You're going to forget your strategy and how it works while you're doing it. So I would just worry about just keep pumping out content. And I don't technically even have a website right now either. Like, there's no blog for Ryan or anything I do. HandsomeGuySecrets.com, which is like my brand, goes to my YouTube channel. It just forwards to my YouTube channel. So when everybody says, hey, Ryan McGinn of Handsome Guy Secrets, it just goes to my YouTube channel. So essentially, I don't have a website that has any of my stuff on it. It's just my YouTube channel.
Can you talk through that that funnel a little bit and why no website? I know you've kind of hinted at it, but I'm curious, like, how this flow and what and how it works, like, financially too.
Well, financially, I mean, I'll be totally transparent. The Handsome Guy brand, which is from the second I created my first 51 Handsome Guy Secrets product, which is $47, and this is where Antonio was impressed, because there's like three upsells and a continuity attached to it. So that was a beast of a product to make. I wanted to have something to sell. So I knew if I was making 100, 200, 300 videos that I had something to sell, so there was the availability to make money. Yeah, that's my blog. Is that Antonio? Is that you on the screen?
Yep.
But yeah, he's going to click over it. That's like my website. And that's a VSL. Like, this is a very strategic. A copywriter wrote all that copy. That product, like, the marketing for this product was about $10,000 invested. So I didn't pay for that up front. I just partnered with people that could help me make that happen. Like, this is my blog, but it's like old stuff. It's never been updated. What, 2014? So my whole strategy for that, Tom, was just, I know the importance of the email, and just getting you on my list, because I email every single day. I consider it like email blogging. Like, I'm writing you like 500 words every day no matter what, so that's like my blog, you know, per se. And it's more of an intimate relationship. And then that's where the Facebook group kind of came in, and it just kind of trickled down to just how can I make people more obsessed with me, and that's kind of what I
sure.
did there.
So I'm just curious about one thing. Sense? Like, where does the major traffic actually, just so I'm clear, find you via the content that you've created primarily through YouTube?
It's all through YouTube.
It's all through YouTube.
And I do have good affiliates as well. And that's one thing. That's why I invested so much into that first product, the 51 Handsome Guy Secrets, because all the dating guys sell my stuff, So they're on Facebook fan page. And so if you go to, like, type in Handsome Guy Secrets, my group should come up. And that's, like, so I just consider that. And it's more of, like, a differentiation, too. Like, anybody could have a website. So I was trying to differentiate myself and make it more exclusive to kind of be in my inner circle. So you have, like, the Facebook group, which is 2,500 members. Yeah, it should be pulling it up right now. Are you in my group?
No.
That's actually my page. Antonio, do you want to share the screen with me and I can type it in? I don't know if you can do that. Yeah, there it is, the closed group, 2,500 members. But yeah, so, I mean, that was, I really didn't have a strategy for it when I first saw. Let me accept you in there, Antonio. I didn't really have too much of a strategy, but it was just more of how can I differentiate myself and make people kind of want to, you know, get a little closer and be in my inner circle, I guess you could say. And I know the power of email, because there's so many people that make a lot of money from email marketing. That was always my my priority. He's in the group. There's a lot of weird stuff that goes down in the group too. Like a lot of weird selfies and people.
So okay, so in like that, that sorry, I apologize if you already have kind of answered this, but like YouTube, from YouTube, you send people to the Facebook group. Is that the first thing, or
yeah,
do you YouTube email list first?
The hierarchy for me is email list first, then Facebook group. But everything is kind of, when you look at the links under my YouTube, it's always, you know, there's YouTube, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram. Like, I just put everything there because it's, you know, all my social profiles. And I figure eventually you'll find one that will, you know, because some people follow me in the group don't want to get emails every day, or some people that get emails every day don't join the Facebook group. So it's, but I do know that when I release a new product, the first 100 sales come from the Facebook group. So those are like, you know, like the people that love me, I guess you could say. So I spend a lot, and I don't sell a lot in the Facebook group, which is another, a lot of people get mad at me about that. They're like, dude, you can make so much more money from that group. I just don't sell in there unless I release a new product. The email list does all my selling, and like I do sell kind of half-assedly on YouTube. I just kind of mention stuff when I'm talking. I don't make specific ones for just, you know, just to sell on YouTube as well. Most all my direct selling is from my emails every day.
That's awesome.
I hope that answers.
Yeah.
And I mean, income-wise, yeah. Like Handsome Guy is in 2 years old, and I just literally met with my accountant the other day, and we did 98,000 last year. And I'm projecting to do, if everything happens the way I want it to, I should do 200 or so this year as well.
Nice.
And I see that growth with with everything growing together. I mean, I really would like to get a couple like specific pieces of clothing that I want with my brand on it. Things that I sell a lot too. If I like a certain bracelet, I want to own that bracelet. If I like it, I'm obsessed with Chelsea boots, I want to have my own. Just because of margins, and I hate that, like, I dropped a Jack Threads link in there, and I probably sold 30 pairs of boots from Jack Threads, and I've made like $50 in friends cash. Like, that's, you know, if I was selling them for $100 each, I would have, you know, made a couple thousand dollars. And I have people wearing my stuff. So it's, that's kind of what I try to do as far as I want to own everything.
Yeah.
Even if it's like I sell one a month, I'd rather own it than be sending somebody else the profits.
Nice.
It's like somebody loves your bracelets.
Yeah, there, and the Facebook group too is a really good source for. I kind of cultivate everything I talk about to make people give me their testimonials. Like, there's a lot of deep psychology, and that's one thing. Like Antonio was saying, I'm big on copywriting, but more or less, I'm big on direct like cult building psychology, because if I'm writing every day. Like a lot of my emails start off with, hey, what's up, badass? You're looking really good today. I'm glad that you're taking my advice. And now you're doing, you know, all this awesome stuff is happening to you. Most people don't get complimented on a day-to-day basis. So if I'm like some random guy via email and I'm complimenting you, they're like, wow, I really like this Ryan guy. So I do a lot of stuff, you know, they call it like embedded commands. And it's real deep psychological stuff that I just love. You know, and that's kind of where I've been able to build such a cult following from. And that's when they'll buy everything. Like, I always congratulate people for taking action, whether it's clicking a link or buying a product. If you buy one of my products, there's always a video of me. Like, dude, I'm so glad you bought this product. I'm humbled. You take you trusted me. It's awesome that you stepped up. You took action. You're better on yourself, yada, yada, yada. So I really try to motivate them for making a $9 purchase or a $27 purchase. And that's how you build this crazy following. And this is for my live event. Which that live event, that the video that she's showing right now, I sold it. I didn't have a website for it. I sold it from 7 emails straight to a shopping cart, and we did 7 sales at $497. And I recorded the whole event, and I made 4 new products while talking that day.
And then how'd you release and distribute those post-launch?
I haven't yet. Those are I'm making like a big, I call it like the big boy product. Like it's going to be a $500 or $1,000 product. That was just for, you know, upper end stuff that I haven't released yet.
So I have to announce that I made Ryan in charge of nightlife at StyleCon because as a married man, I'm not going to be and I don't think I have the skill set to take a crew out and just get bottle service. So the story, the behind-the-scenes story from StyleCon is that I cannot talk about the behind-the-scenes story from StyleCon last year. Let's just say that we had guys missing half the next day because they were like, it was still the best event they were ever at. So.
Are you missing the entire deal from getting a new suit? Thanks,
Brian. You did win. Did you ever get the suit?
No. Oh. I don't care, though.
But yeah. But I tried to. I mean, even in my live event, I just tried to have, like, these testimonials here. Like, I had the camera guy. I planned out the 10 questions to ask him in advance, and it was just strictly to cultivate how they're going to perceive what I just taught them. His question was, how did you enjoy the crazy party that Ryan had last night when he took you guys out? So immediately when they talked back to me, it was, yeah, man, he took us all out to this awesome nightclub, got everybody bottle service, we had a great time. So it's like I do fabricate a lot with my projections on what I want people to think about what I'm saying. So I do that all the time. And it's something I wasn't good at first, but you just do it in every single video. And people just, they really eat that type of stuff up. And that's how you just build that cult following.
So you were paid $3,500 to create 4 products so you can make more money?
Yes.
Okay.
And that was the whole point of the live event to begin with, was can I get paid to make these products and how can I do it? So, and each one, the camera guy kind of screwed me over a little bit. That's like another issue. Get good camera guys when you're doing stuff like this. But I chunked out each 1-hour presentation and I titled it, outlined it as if it was going to be a standalone product in itself. But ultimately the whole day accumulated like one awesome product. And it was stuff that I didn't talk about yet on my YouTube videos. It was just new stuff that I was working on. And it, you know, people like this guy Drake, he's probably one of my best customers now. He just loved it. He owned all my products and came to my event, and like he just loved it. And I tried to take him, like, even here, I took them all shopping. I took them to like the crappiest mall because I wanted to show them that, hey, even if you live in like Idaho and you don't have a good mall, this is still how you look good. So I try to be more or less. I try to go completely left field, because when you open a GQ magazine and look at a model wearing an outfit, it's like $2,000 to wear that outfit. I'm like, most people, even if I had that money to buy that outfit and I like fashion, I would never pay that. So how can I show these guys that you can spend $100 and still look really good all the time? And that was kind of like, I mean, I had options to go to different malls and I chose this shitty one that was like, it's in the ghetto, like it's a terrible mall, but I just wanted to show them that you don't, you know. So it was like all that. It's more or less making stuff attainable for, I just want to show people that the possibilities for, you know, style and that. Hope that answered. That was a long-winded answer to a question.
Well, let me go ahead and open it up, guys, because we've only got Ryan for a few more minutes. So if you've got questions.
I can stay on a little bit later, man.
Okay.
I'm not in any rush.
Anyone got questions?
It's noisy in my household now.
I missed earlier whenever you said that you were paid $3,500 to make these products. Who was the one behind like paying you the $3,500?
The customers.
Okay, the customers.
So I said, hey guys, March 11th through 12th, I'm going to be doing this Handsome Guy Experience, which is what I called it, and here's what you're going to get when you come. But each presentation that day was outlined for new products I'm going to release in the future.
Gotcha.
So these guys came and they basically watched me give them all that content for the products in person, as well as ask me questions. But they all paid $500 to be there for the live experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was like.
So basically, it's like a workshop that you're recording, and then you're creating the products as you go. So yeah, that's pretty kick-ass.
Yeah, and you can do that even online, like with webinar possibilities. I'm thinking about testing stuff in my Facebook group, just like Facebook group exclusive, hey, I'm going to talk about celebrity style secrets. It's $37 to attend live. And if I can sell 100 seats to a live, I mean, that's, you know, $3,500 or something to do a 1 hour, 2 hour live recording. Then I record it, I charge double, and then I sell it to everybody else. But because you're in the Facebook group and you're on it live, you got the discount. So you want to like be show like exclusivity with different areas of your business. And that, so now everybody in the Facebook group is like, holy shit, I'm so glad I'm in this Facebook group because I got this awesome product for half price, and then he's selling it here, and it really is double the price, you know, because they may be on my email list too. So there's different ways to do that. And that would be getting paid to create products as you go as well. And I know a lot of guys that do really well with doing that, just that model. They don't have sales, like sales pages. They just literally sell like live events, and then they record them, and then those become their products.
Cool.
What did you feel your difference was between, I guess, the scamming part in the beginning compared to giving value? What would you feel like your biggest transition was that made that more profitable? Because I found like when I stopped acting and stopped acting like I want more money, because obviously I want more money, I want to be successful, because you know that's it's always great to have more money, but I want to give people content that they need and what they want. So how did you, in psychology wise, how did you figure what your medium was and how you were good at it?
Well, when I first transitioned from kind of doing the, we'll call it, you know, black hat stuff to doing like legit white hat, like building a business and a brand, I struggled hardcore because I didn't make any money for 6 months. Like it was very little to minimal money coming in, but I knew that, okay, like this is like the struggle. This is why people go to the scamming path, because yes, there's a lot of ways to make money online very quickly, very fast by ripping people off and selling questionable stuff, and a lot of people make a lot of money that way. But there's like the grinding period where you have to know, okay, I'm doing this, but it's not so much doing it to make money right now. It's that future bank account. It's building that, because you can't. There's no way you can put 1,000 videos on the internet and eventually not make money from them, whether it be ads, whether it be partnerships. Like no matter what, if you're doing, you know, putting quality content out there, eventually some way you'll get paid for it. Whether it be, hey, Mike, we want you to come speak at this conference. How about we give you 20 grand to keynote? Like there's, you know, there's possibilities for that income everywhere, and you just got to kind of put out the content knowing that you're going to be repaid for it in some way. And that was really hard for me to get over mentally when I first made that shift, because I was like putting out all this awesome content where I was like, holy crap, I just wrote 2,000 words and I didn't make a dime, you know, like. But you just have to like kind of hold true to like, okay, well, it'll pay off. And now looking back 2 years ago to where I am now, I'm like, oh shit, it paid off. So it's, that was like a huge shift for me. And looking back, like there's many times I'm like, man, I need to get a job, but I'm still going to do this on the side. Like I need to do this while working somewhere to make money, or I need to, like, it was really tough because I was really good at making quick money doing questionable shit. And I could still be doing that Google scam today, and I'm super glad that I'm not, because all I would have to do is spend a month figuring out how to beat Google again, and I would have, because there's people still doing it, but it's very short-lived, and Google's getting quicker and figuring stuff out like that, and you're just always on the cusp of losing everything, and I didn't want to live like that. So by laying this groundwork, like when like Aaron and Antonio, for example, like when Aaron started making videos, I doubt he was like, holy shit, I'm going to be a YouTube celebrity and make all this money in ad revenue. Like, no, it was, I want to just create this content and help people. And you put it out there, and now 4 or 5 years later, he's got 1 million subscribers, and I don't know what Aaron makes in ad revenue, but I'm sure just his ad revenue alone is very good. And he could probably live just off his ad revenue. Like, those are things you just kind of go into with that. It'll work itself out.
What about consulting? Because I see you kind of delved into that a little bit.
I did a little bit, but I got a couple people, you know, just because you put stuff out there at certain prices, and if you have a big enough audience, people are going to buy it. So I put like a $200 30-minute Skype call, and I think I've done like 5 or 6 of them in 2 years. But they were a pain in the ass because that was an hour of my time. And in an hour of my time now, especially now having a baby, in 1 hour I can make a product in 4 videos and be done in an hour. You know, that'll make me thousands of dollars to just keep over and over again. So I have to be real strict with time, and the consulting takes a lot of time. So that is good, or you know, if that's your model, then you know, stick to that model and charge premium. Like, be like, nope, it's $500. You know, talk to me for 30 minutes. That's it. I'm not budging from that. And eventually, you'll get that, but that has to be your model from the get-go. Like, you can't charge $50 for an hour now, and then all of a sudden, a year from now, you're charging $1,000. Like, see, like if consulting, like I know a lot of guys make a lot of money with consulting in different niches, but just it's your time. It's like, so whatever you value your time. I like to get paid to make something and then get paid over and over again for that one thing. That's why I like info products. And same thing with, like, you know, I'm getting more and more into the physical products now, because if you take our marketing knowledge and the stuff that, like, you know, as you get it, be a good info marketer and apply it to selling a pair of sunglasses, you can crush it. Like, if you look at my bracelet page, like, that's not how people are selling bracelets. That's how a marketer, like, there's, like, social proof on the page. There's a video showing you how cool the bracelets are. There's testimonials from people that have bought them. Like, you can't go to Shopify and find somebody selling bracelets like that. That's just because, okay, I know how to sell, and I'm going to sell it like this.
That's what I love about you, is you don't copy what's being done. You take what works in one industry, apply it to an industry, because there are people on Etsy that make beautiful, amazing bracelets, and they're selling them for $10, $15, and they got to sell 4 to 5 bracelets and do 5 times as much work to make, and they don't even make as much money as you do at that point, because they've got shipping. It kills them. They're making a couple dollars off each bracelet, and you're making 50.
Yeah. I mean, and it's true. It's like, once you learn how to market, like, direct response marketing is ultimately what we do. That's why there's sales pages. That's why you learn copywriting. That's why you learn persuasion. But people, especially in the physical world, people do not, you know, they don't use that type of thing, that type of mentality when they're selling a pair of Ray-Bans. Like, I could become an affiliate for Ray-Ban, and I would just have a video of me just wearing these in different ways and then talking about all the people that sell or wear Ray-Bans. Like, there's, if you use these principles to sell, you know, consulting and direct response stuff, it opens up a whole new world of selling different products. And applying that to, like, a pair of shoes, like, it's amazing, because people don't sell shoes like that. People are like, oh, here's my shoes. You like them, buy them.
No, and then you bring the story, you make it valuable. So even if they pay more for the shoes, they buy, instead of getting their $40 pair, they buy the $150 pair through your link. Yeah, they spent $100 more, but you know what? They love those shoes, and they know they feel it makes them look great, so they wear it 200 times. They wear them till there's holes in those shoes, and they love it.
And then they tell everybody how awesome these shoes are. So it's in marketing. I never try to sell whatever it is. Like, this is just a bracelet that costs $3, but what it represents to those that are buying it is that they won't settle for mediocrity. They take pride in their appearance. Like, they want to represent that. So it's like everything you do, when I'm teaching in all my style courses, like 27 outfits that make her come to you. Like, it's just 27 outfits that you can, that, I mean, you can find on Antonio's site, you can find them on Aaron's site, you can find them on Primer. But when you just put an outfit there and say, this is the best outfit for a first date, people don't want it. Guys, like you, if you tap into the primal instincts of people, no matter if it's selling fitness, dating, style, supplements, it doesn't matter what you're selling, guys want to have more sex, have better relationships, have more money, have more power. Like, if you're hitting on these primal desires, you're going to make more money. And people won't care, you know, they don't care about a bracelet, but if this bracelet's the color red, and the color red is shown to increase attractiveness in males, they'll buy your bracelet because it's red. So it's attaching a story that hits one of those, for me, is always the primal desire of getting them laid or getting them more women, because that's what guys want. At least my 18 to 25-year-old demographic is what they want.
Now, we've got, you know, and what I love about these principles is that you can take them. So I'm seeing Michelle out there. And Michelle, you know, we've been refocusing a few things right there. But imagine, Michelle, if you had a live event and you brought 3 women out. If you had 5 women come out and meet with you in person, each of them already paid $500 for this live 2-day event, small group, and literally you create the product which they've asked you for. These are 5, you know, premium customers. Ryan, what kind of data did you gather when you had this group there that you knew what to create in the future?
Oh, well, the customer, when you see, like, physically, and that's another thing, too, like, my going from the difference of, like, just selling stuff online to like, that was, like, spammy to now, like, changing guy, people's lives, like you do with fitness as well as we do with style. Like, when I shook the hand of that guy, Drake, and he's like, dude, I found you. I was searching how to get over a divorce, and I was binge-watching, like, 7 videos, and then all of a sudden I saw your video in the sidebar. It was about style. I watched that video, and then I redid my wardrobe, and now, like, I started going out again. I started meeting more people. Like, to hear these stories of, like, where people were when they found your content and then to what they're doing now was huge. And then that guy Drake was, like, 50 years old, too, which that was shocking to me, that a guy would spend $500 and fly to Florida to hang out with me for a day, who's clearly already has way more life experience and more, and, you know, knowledge than I probably do. So in meeting that, and then there was another guy that was even older than Drake. He was 62 years old. It was at my event. Like, I was just like, what the hell? Like, and he had found mine because he had, once again, he got divorced, and he was trying to figure out how to text girls because he didn't know how to text girls. And one of the guys that he followed for texting, like, to learn text game, promoted my product. And he promoted from the angle how to set up your online dating profile so you look good. He sold a bunch of my product. Now this guy found me from that and then shows up at my event. And then there was, like, the 18-year-old kid who was just out of high school, going into college, wants to get a good professional job, had no idea how to dress, found my stuff. But, and he actually found everybody's stuff, but he related to me more because I was kind of edgier. Like, he had found Antonio's, he found Aaron's, and then he found me, and he was like, oh, like, I just like it because you're closer to my age, and I feel like you got the hip, like, part of your vibe, and I like that about you. So it's like, people connect with your personality. And the same thing with whoever's having the event. One of the things that I also learned is you could kind of screw up everything you do, but if people feel like they had a great time, they'll forget everything that you messed up. Like, so my whole thing with the live event was have a great party at the end of the night so everybody has a good time that comes out. And you mix dancing, friends of mine that happen to be girls that are attractive, and bottle service. people will tend to forget about anything that day and just have an amazing time. So those are things, and then they'll always remember the party, and then they attach you to having a good time. So, like, if there's, like, a group of women, it'd be like, okay, what do women do when they go to seminars? They sit, they drink wine together. So, like, if you did a wine tasting at the end of the night, and all the girls from the event that were there were sipping wine together, talking about how terrible guys are on online dating or whatever, now you have this bond, and whatever you talked about that day, I'm sure it was awesome, but they're going to attach you to being their friend, and it's, that to me, that was super powerful, because that's what I like about going to events. It's just meeting people in the halls and things of that nature. So, and learning, you know, and just also seeing and hearing, like, how they found me was huge. Some were just randomly on YouTube. Others were, you know, like an Instagram post. Like, you just never know. That's why you do kind of have to be everywhere. But the people that will find you, they'll connect the dots and go where they need to be. You know, and that was, like, huge for me, was just to kind of face-to-face see people that have, like I said, I was shocked to know that, like, some of them didn't even own 51 Handsome Guy Secrets, which is what I consider to be my main product. Like, 3 out of the 7 people that were there didn't even own it. We're just like, yeah, I just saw you at a live event. I want to talk to you in person. So you never know what they're going to invest in, too.
Can you talk about a little bit about your affiliate strategy?
As far as getting to people to promote me, or...
Yeah, I think a lot of guys here could possibly benefit from how you mentioned this a couple of times. When you first created your first product, affiliate being an creating a great product that affiliates could share in their respective to their respective audience. I think there's 2 major points that I'd like you to touch on: is how do you create that topic or that product to fit into the right audiences, like where it fits into other people. So you're not a competitor; you're a collaborator in so far as that's concerned. And the second thing is how you use affiliate marketing or leverage affiliates to sell this and build your platform and grow your revenue.
Well, to get an affiliate or to get somebody to sell your stuff, it has to either do 2 things. It has to either make them a lot of money or fill a need that their customers have that they don't have the solution for. So if you come in, like, we'll take the first one. So, like, how do you just make them a lot of money? Well, to make them a lot of money, you have to have high-end copywriters do your marketing. You have to have a really good product, and you have to, it has to sell very easily to people who don't know you. And they call that cold traffic. I'm sure you're familiar. But it just has to convert to people that have no idea who you are. That is really, really, really hard to do. And I know a lot of people that get paid a lot of money to try to make that happen, but they don't. And products flop all the time that they say, this is the next greatest thing. So my strategy was, okay, how do I make a product that fills a need that this market has that I can kind of bridge the gap? And for, you know, when it came to dating, there was a couple of guys trying to do it. They had, like, Seduced with Style was a product that I found that was, like, kind of bridging that gap, but the marketing wasn't that good. He kind of had it going, but he wasn't a good marketer. I knew that I could take my marketing skills, do it a little better than him, and then get all these people to promote it. And when I, my strategy for getting them to promote it was I made it stupid easy for them to promote it. So the guy with the text, like, there's a reason that guy found me because of the text list, is because I wrote that guy's promotional material for him. I said, here, you have a list that's based on how to teach guys how to pick up women on online dating. Here's how to set up your online profile to look attractive. And then, by the way, I sell this product to help guys become handsome. He sold a couple hundred of my products. And so I went to each individual partner, and I was like, here, I know that your work is mainly, you know, maybe you have an older demographic. So I wouldn't target, you know, how to get laid products to them. It would be, okay, how to have more power and respect, how to dress for commanding respect. That would be an email that I wrote for them, give them that, and say, oh, by the way, at the end, I have this product that helps guys become more handsome. And even the product's name in itself is 51 Handsome Guy Secrets. Like, guys want to be handsome because when girls come, oh, you look so handsome, it makes them feel good. So even the name of my product just kind of makes them feel good. Well, I want to be handsome, and it's like, well, I want to know the 51 secrets. Like, you know, so it's like that. You start from, like, okay, how do I, you know, take this guy to promote all the way down the line, like the marketing that's going to sell it, the person that's reading his emails, the product that's being sold. And obviously you can make one product, but you just tailor all these different angles into selling your product. And I did that individually for about 5 or 6 guys to promote my stuff, and that's what got the first initial like sales kind of rolling in. And then after everybody else in it saw those 5 guys promoting it, then they all sold it just because they were selling it. So I had all this support because, you know, was it like the celebrityness of just having the celebrities in the niche promote me? Everybody wanted to promote me at that point. And then I had a big contest where normally it sells for $47. For 7 days I did, I cut it, the price in half, sold for $27, and I offered $3,000 cash to the person that won, $2,000 for second. So that was a lot of money out of my pocket. But I wouldn't be able to do that if I didn't know how much a customer is worth to me in the long run. So that's like a long-term play, and not a lot of people have 10 grand sitting in an account ready to throw at affiliates to sell their product. So, but there's gaps all the time. I mean, especially in fitness, like, people come up with cool, clever gap products. I see it all the time. Same thing with, you know, anything outside of fitness and dating, it's not that hard to come up with like a gap product, you know. Those niches are just really, really crowded, so you got to think a lot. And it took a while for me to figure out how to do the, you know, to fit into the dating world as well as, you know, the style world. But I hope that, does that kind of answer the question there? Oh, I can't hear you, Tom.
Sorry, muted myself.
No worries.
So yeah, that did answer it. And if anybody has any follow-up questions, let me know. I will ask this though: were you sending people then? You basically created swipe copy for them, which I love, especially if you personalize it to
person. It's like 100% personal, not just like no email that went out was the same for anybody. I mean, I wrote all, and that's like Mike going back to like, I wrote a shit ton of stuff that I had no idea if anybody was going to make me any money. Like, I didn't sleep that week for like, it was like 1 week, and everybody, and I had guys, I did like 6 interviews that guys never even used. Like, it was a lot of work. But I wanted everybody to promote me some way different.
Yep, and I can validate this 100%, guys. If you're listening, affiliates are powerful, but if you can personally tailor this to a person's platform, and you can take out the pain of having to share something, because then they have to think, well, oh, it looks like a good product, but I have to write these emails. I have business this week. I have these other things coming up. I don't really like the generic swipe copy that they created. If you can offer on top of that, I'll write your emails for you. Just give me, like, you give me the specifications, or just based on what they you already know about their platform. I think that's powerful. I think for me, if somebody came to me that way, I'd be like, go for it. Show me what you got. And if the emails are good, they're going out.
And even too, and what I also learned, you'll learn really quick too if you're using that strategy, is the guys that will sell the most of your products, they won't use your emails, but they'll take it as you're like a like wow, this guy is cool. He did all this for me. They're probably going to write their own emails, because I would never send out a swipe copy, because I want to write the way that I talk. So I would do that. But if somebody came to me like, hey, I wrote all this for you, I'd be like, oh man, like, all right. This guy did all this work for me. Like, he didn't even know me, you know. So it's like they have, like, they're more open and receptive to going, wow, I kind of like that guy. Maybe I'll let me check out his product. He gave me review access to it, or oh wow, like. And if you do have a good product and they do learn something from your product, like all the dating guys learned from my product because they had never seen that type of style information before. So like they were all psyched to sell it, you know. So that was you got to have a good product to begin with too. So it's. You know, all those things kind of working together, like, open the floodgates for you as far as getting affiliates to promote. And but you could totally skip all that if your product just makes them a lot of money. People will just promote it and they don't care. So that's the other way.
They usually Ryan, what was your stats for that, though? If you're going to sell something that's like – if you're trying to say something that if it just makes them money, you'll probably need some backup stats. So that's why I wouldn't recommend that as, like, a first-time thing. Because then they'd be like, how do I know what's going to make – what are the – what's the – cost per click, like, what am I going to make from this if I share it? So anyway, just
all it takes is one good affiliate to mail your product and you will get all the rest.
That's true.
All it takes is one guy to make money, and then you take that one guy and go, Antonio promoted and he made this much money. They'll be like, okay, I'm good, and they'll promote it. So like you can fight to get, like, it's like the big fish. Like, there's usually four or five of them in every niche. If you can get one of those guys to give you a test, you're going to make money. And that's kind of like, but you can't fuck up that test. You have to have everything on point for that. Because if that one guy mails and it fails for him, then back to the drawing board, start over, you're doing something else.
How would you reach out to those big names to, like, become an affiliate? Like, if you have a product for sale and you're trying to get affiliates, like, what is a process or a few steps that you could take to maybe get on their radar?
Well, there's two that I have used successfully in both times. One is selling a lot of their stuff on your own. So, and that only happens if you have a platform already and you already have an audience. So obviously, like, if I was selling one of Antonio's products and he didn't know who I was, he's going to see sales coming and be like, well, who's this Ryan guy? Then he reaches out to you. Then there's you know, the mutual relationship there. Okay, cool. But you're coming up with, okay, well, I've already made you money. So it's a different type of relationship. It's not, here, sell my product so you can make money. It's like, no, I've already been selling your stuff and making you money. So that's one way. The other way is live events. You have to get around people that are doing the same things that you want to do. And even this is hit or miss, because you could go, and all my biggest connections and things have happened while drinking at a nightclub with these guys that I'm eventually going to do business with. And all the dating guys are obviously big partiers. So if you're a new guy in the niche, you have to kind of impress them. So you go out at a nightclub, you got to be the guy to buy a table. So, and you're investing. It's like, I never consider that like wasting money. It's like, okay, well, this is going to cost me $500 tonight. But if one of these guys sells 10 of my products, I just made all that back and got 10 customers. You know, so it's like you have to shift your thinking. There's other ways to do it as well. Get their address and send them something cool that they're going to use. Like, a lot of people send books, but I think that's kind of played out now. Like, if you send somebody like a new GoPro, like if somebody shipped me a GoPro and it just showed up in my mailbox, I'd probably sell your product, whether I made money or not. Like, yeah, it's $300-$400 out of your pocket, but it's like, well, now it's like, well, shit, like, I have to do something for this guy. Like, so those are just different ways, and you can get creative. Like, send somebody like a big gift certificate to a nice dinner with like, hey, I really like your content, thank you. And then like follow up a week later, hey, did you use that gift certificate yet? Oh, cool. Hey, I've been working online. I kind of got this thing going. You know, what are your thoughts on it? So you can kind of do different angles to just, hey, I want you to sell my stuff. And that's just the more creative you can get doing that, the more you're going to stand out from everybody else. And that's kind of, you know, because everybody's like, sell myself, and they want to like breach your audience no matter what. And that's like a lot of physical product companies, like clothing companies, come at me all the time now for that. And it's, you know, it's no, the creative ones. I have two GoPros. I'm not looking for one, but that was just an example, because that's what I would do to, for like Antonio. Just yeah, but stuff like that is just, you know, just trying to, however you can do it. It could be a drone too. I mean, if somebody sent me a drone, I'd be out there flying it. Like it, anything that, like, if you're in the pickup niche, like if you're trying to get somebody in the dating niche, like send him like free, find out where he lives and send him a free bottle from his local nightclub, like. Things like that, like any way that you can be creative. Yeah, it's going to cost you a little bit of money up front, so only do that if you can, you know, afford it. But other than that, going to events, like, you know, going to like StyleCon, if you had a style product or a product in that niche, just going and hanging out with everybody there, being a friendly, cool guy, you know, having a cool backstory, having a reason why you're in business, like just being exciting to talk to, like those things are what solidifies affiliates, you know, and people to you know, make eventually do business with, partner with, or make money with. That's, you know, those are my biggest things that I've done. I've used all of them.
And the great thing is nobody does this. It's so simple, but people don't go to live events. They don't send, you know, I mean, the reason I got in with a guy named Pat Flynn, I created a video and gave him, you know, a style consultation. And he's talked about this, I don't know, like 50 times in podcasts and everything. But the cost to me was just time and effort, but the value was very high, and I had already studied him, so it was actually very useful. But it's the same thing, being able to give value first, and understand some people, you won't get it back. Like, you could literally send them probably a GoPro, and they're like, cool, but like, I just don't have time, and it's cool. Like, I reject, I have a lot of clothing trying to be sent to me, and I don't give out my address. Like, I ask them not to send it because their expectation is, you know, they're going to give you something and you're going to write a review of it. Well, no, we charge, you know, set, you know, this many thousands of dollars for those reviews. But there's still, you know, a lot of areas, you know, crowdfunding space. You know, Adam, you know, in your niche, you know, you're in the education niche still, right? Or Adam?
No, yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I switched. I'm leadership development, but I'm also running college acceptance.
So, you know, you've got to look at, you know, who do you want to reach out there? And, you know, a lot of these guys, if they're going around and doing presentations, or if you wanted to do work with someone, maybe it's thinking, hey, you know, I saw you're going to be presenting, you know, heading out there. I don't know. You know, it's like, I'm a big fan of your stuff. I wanted to think of a way to get back to you. I know you do presentations all the time. I'm going to send you a, you know, a nice little presenter stick, you know, that you could, I mean, they may already have one, but it's like, wow, this guy, like, he set me up for success because I've ran into that issue, or I need to have a backup one. Yeah, you spend $70, but he gets that letter and a nice gift. And again, you're not asking for anything. Otherwise, you lose the power of reciprocity. But you just want to, you want to stand out. You want to get yourself known, and don't, you know, an email just doesn't cut it anymore. You know, nobody, you know, we're tired of them.
Yeah, and there's so many different ways. I mean, it's just powerful because it leads on like a giving point. And I mean, I know a lot of people, like, I mean, I see what people send Elliot to all the time, and it's like hand painted, like pictures of him, like stuff that took them hours, like, and but I've seen him even not like even. You know, reciprocate on that because he gets so many of it now. But I watched him the other day, a guy, you know, who was like a paraplegic, like stopped Elliot in the street and was like, I speak at seminars, I love, like, and Elliot gave him a shout out on Instagram the other day. Like, guy had like no arms and no legs. Like, I mean, it's, you never know when they're going to like reciprocate or in what way, but all it takes is like one of those, and it really will, it could take off an entire business, whether it be selling an affiliate product, selling your product to a ton of people, giving you a shout out, gaining, you know, 10,000 Instagram followers or 5,000 YouTube subscribers. Like, those things can jumpstart careers, and it's literally, you know, when you, if you look back on it after you've done it, like $400 or $500 up front, it's like, holy shit, that's a lot of money, but it's peanuts compared to if they give you 5,000 YouTube subscribers, because that's like, you know, $10 a day in ad revenue, or whatever it may be. you know, so it's like it adds up over time, but you got to kind of lead with a giving hand, or just be a cool guy. Like sometimes that's enough. Like if you stand out in some way, you have a cool story. That's why our stories are so important. Like you could just like the guy that Elliot gave the shout out to, like I mean he literally didn't give him any, but he was you know he had no arms and no legs, and he was doing something good for the world because of his disease and what had happened to him. They're inspired by stuff like that. So it's like, I'm going to give you a shout out. Like, what's your Instagram? Do you have a YouTube channel? Like, my people need to hear this. So it could just be you have good stuff to share too. So it's, you know, but all that working together kind of is like a good a mix and how a lot of people get people to mail.
All right, guys, we're at the 90-minute mark in. So, Ryan, I don't want to take up any more of your time. You can be found, you know, they can go check out, you know, Ryan, Megan, join your Facebook group, which, Adam, I was cool enough. I could have gotten in without setting up the I saw that comment. But
whatever you got to tell yourself, Antonio.
Whatever I have to tell myself. Yeah, I'm almost 40.
My Facebook group is I mean, my group, but just my personal Facebook is I mean, that and my YouTube, handsomeguysecrets.com, goes right to my YouTube. Those are the two places where I hang out.
How's your Snapchat going?
I got it up. I just did it. Like I'm literally just starting, but I get like 300 views a snap now, and I don't know if that's good or bad compared to like people. Like,
I mean, I'm pretty jealous of it, to be honest.
But that was like, but I can see that, and there's no, I can't be like, oh, I know I'm gonna make money from this, but it's the fact that 300 people would watch 15 seconds of me talking, like, and you know they're watching. Like if it's on YouTube, they start your video and then they're like shopping on another tab. You know, they're just listening, or like they're, you know, if it's, you know, audio, they just got you playing while they're taking a shower. Like on Snapchat, you're like glued to the phone because you have to hold on to it to watch it or double tap it to skip it. So it's like,
are you sharing content or just like pictures and stuff? I mean,
Well, yesterday I did 2 hours of Q&A. And okay. I used people that snap me like a video question or like a text question. I just answered it. Hey, you know, Zach asked, blah, blah, blah. And then I would just answer it, you know, over the course of like, you know, a couple snaps if it took me a minute. I mean, but it's also too, it's, things like that make you a real person. So if you're sharing like, you know, like I share my messy closet. Like if fashion people are following me that like fashion, they're like, holy shit, he's got shoes laying all over the place. Like, and, you know, so you're like a real, you have real problems. Like, I love going to the mall. Like, I spend way too much time buying clothes. So it's just, you know, if that's what I'm trying to portray people to be, but I, and I'm living that, like, it's a bonding thing, too. Plus, it also shows that, wow, how's he make all that money to buy those clothes? Like, it intrigues you to, you got to kind of manufacture, like, a celebrity persona. So, you know, if I'm driving in the car and they happen to see that I'm driving in my girlfriend's Mercedes, you know, it flashes over the Mercedes emblem or a bottle service at a nightclub. Like, you know, but if you mix those things in with good content, people are just like, oh, wow, this guy's awesome. You know, so that's kind of what I'm trying to do with Snapchat. And I think in Snapchat, like, you know, the hierarchy would be like email list or YouTube email list, Facebook group. And now if I get them on Snapchat, like, they're really watching me, you know. So I don't know if it's going to pay off, but it's just kind of fun to see, like, 300 people looking at my stuff when I do it.
Do you ever give like tips? You know, just like I know you do the question and answer, but do you ever just randomly just throw out tips throughout the day?
I will start, but I haven't because I literally just started. Like, I mean, I've had a Snapchat for a while and I've been mentioning it, but I've done nothing but like take some pictures of what I'm wearing. Yeah. You know? And I did that for, I was like, hey, join my Snapchat. You'll see what I wear every day. But I wear pretty much the same thing 4 days and 5 days a week. Like, I'm like, wow, these people are think I don't have any clue what I'm doing, so I got to stop this. So it's like the daily uniform, you know? Like, yeah, and you can put links and stuff. Like, I know that yesterday, like, I dropped a link to my Facebook group. Like, I bought the domain handsomeguygroup.com, and then that redirects to my Facebook group. So I literally put that in a snap, and, like, 20 people joined the group yesterday because I dropped that in there. So I know that they go to a computer or to their phone, and, like, they'll move around if they're watching you. So, but, I mean, I've never done, like, you know, making money from Snapchat, but it's just cool to kind of solidify the authority of what you're doing. Same with Instagram. My strategy, I actually buy likes on Instagram, which I know a lot of people hate, But when I was, and Antonio might be able to clarify this, but like when brands were contacting me when I started out, they would see, like, they had no idea I had a 30,000 person email list to start. So I already knew I could sell a lot of their stuff, but they all saw like 5,000 subs on YouTube and like 2,000 on Instagram. And I'm like, crap. So like I started, you know, I would buy like 100 likes a photo just so like if a brand did look at me, like I didn't look like too like, yeah. Oh, well, at least he's getting a lot of me. So, and I still do. No, I've never done it with YouTube. Like, with Instagram, Instagram's easy to game. Like, I've noticed that. So, and you can kind of, like, with hashtags, if you're the most liked hashtag, if you're, like, for when you search a hashtag, if you're the like, most liked photo, you show up. So you get all these new followers that are seeing the top posts. So that's like my Google SEO spammer coming out of me. I'm like, oh, I can game Instagram by just buying more likes. So I kind of do it more or less just because I want brands to take me seriously, because all they have to know is that I'm going to sell, like I have, you know, this many people on an email list. I probably, 9 times out of 10, I have more emails than they do. So it's, you know, and they know the power in that. So it's just to get them to talk to me more.
So just to kind of recap what you just said about Instagram, so you'll do a hashtag, like a popular hashtag in your niche, and then you'll buy a bunch of likes for that one photo, which would put you at the top. How long do you stay at the top?
I think it's like 24 hours. You stay at, like, well, here, I'll show you, like.
That's really clever. On my phone.
So, like, here, so I posted this picture of me and my daughter yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. So the hashtag was hashtag dad style. Actually, I'm already gone, but yeah, like, but like all day yesterday, I was like that top picture right there. So like that top picture has 87 likes. So your photo just has to have more than 87 likes and you're going to be in that top post. But if you do that for like, you can't do it too much. Like if you only have 1,000 Instagram followers or 500, you can't have 500 likes on a photo. It just doesn't look right. So you got to stay kind of congruent. So like I have almost 4,000 subscribers or followers, so it's like to get 300-400 likes on a photo isn't that unbelievable. So I try to keep it like that. But there's certain, let me see, I did hashtag, see, yeah, I think it's like 24 or 48 hours you stay up there. So some, yeah, it might be 24 hours. But yeah, that's one way to like, but that's gotten me about 1,000 followers on Instagram since I started doing that. So that was like a cool way.
Trying to wrap this up. Is there any way we can carry on this conversation maybe at another time, Ryan?
Yeah, just shoot me via Facebook. They just friend me on Facebook.
Or come out to StyleCon. You guys all, everyone from High Speed Elite, you know, let me know if you want to come out. I'd get you out there.
When is it?
March 11th through 13th in Atlanta, Georgia. Just type in Men's StyleCon. You'll see my cool video. I'm going to put out another video on it, but you know, I know we had a couple of the guys come out last year, just had a good time, just hang out. You know, a lot of internet business marketers there. So we talk a lot of business. It doesn't have to really, you know, it's one thing I like about style is, I mean, yeah, you know, guys are going to be dressed pretty sharp there, but when it comes down to it, we're all talking business. Business is business is business. Doesn't matter what industry you're in. And what I like is going to a conference that's fun, that, you know, is enjoyable to be at, and at the same time, I can get new ideas in the same way that you just, like that little nugget right there that you latched onto about, you know, Instagram. It's like those things are floating all over the place.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, and also, too, a tip that I had with conferences that was really good is go the day before and stay the day after, because most of the speakers and presenters show up a day early and are usually just eating at the restaurant or at the hotel bar, and that's where you'll have the best conversations, too. Like, networking at conferences is huge, and it's exploded a lot of my growth, you know, especially in like the pickup, like that industry. Just partying with those guys, like it's not hard. If you guys have like shared vodkas together and stared at a hot girl dancing, you know, like you have a common bond now that like you'll never forget. Or like if you were drunk eating Taco Bell at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, like you'll never forget that. So it's just, you know, those are the things that you can't recreate. Like you can't send somebody a gift and have that happen. Like you got to be like, you remember that guy that fell when we were eating that hamburger on the street corner out in front of that club in Texas? Like, then they'll write about that in like their marketing for you. And, you know, so it's like things like that have just been like, you can't recreate that. You can't buy that type of thing. Like, You're like, I remember me and Antonio and your app guy or Aaron's app guy, we had a great conversation Sunday night sitting at the Glen Hotel. After everybody was gone, we talked for like, what, 3 hours about like apps and websites? Like,
yeah.
That stuff's like invaluable. And that wouldn't have happened had I not stayed the extra day. And, you know, his app developer stayed the extra day. Like, you know, you never know like what type of conversations are going to happen outside of things like that. And that's not just at SolidCon, but that happens at events like leadership events, personal development events, Tony Robbins events, like anything where there's an event and a gathering of people, they usually want to get drunk at night and talk business. Like that's what everybody wants to do.
Yeah. So. I've been to a few events, live events, and it's always been fun. I got to admit, when I first started going, though, I was like the introvert guy. You know, that guy was afraid to go up to everybody and start talking, you know, and I'd kind of like walk up to a group and be like that strange third guy that just showed up. But
yeah, you gotta get out of the comfort zone a little
bit. Those icebreakers ready.
Yep.
All right, guys, we're at the Ryan. Thank you very much. Okay, so I see a few faces I haven't seen in a while. So if you want to set up a one-on-one, my calendar is always open, especially you know let me know March 24th. I think I still got a few dates. Tom usually puts his schedule out there. We'd love to hear from some of you guys. I know I'm talking to HJB this week and a few other people. But you guys keep plugging away, knocking through those businesses. I'd love to get an email update from you, Adam, as to where you're going. It sounds like you got a launch coming up. Yeah, we'd love to hear about that. And that's it, guys. Thank you very much. Ryan, really appreciate you being here. And
thank you so much.